Okay, so I'm going to... First, I apologize about last week. I had something prepared to say, but then the speaker, like, went over, so I wasn't sure what the story was. I apologize. Although the speaker was amazing. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear the speaker at all last week. I had something prepared to say last week. Famous story about Rav Moshe Feinstein's attitude towards the Holocaust survivors. Last week was Yom HaShoah. Something very special about the way the state of Israel celebrates certain things, about going from Yom HaShoah and then the next week Yom HaZikaron, you know, the serious day to really thank the soldiers who put their lives on the line, and only then to be willing to celebrate. First you have to give kavod. Sort of like similar to the idea we have in Yiddishkeit about Maskel Begnus and Messiah B'Shvach. By the Seder, we don't just start telling how happy you are. You have to remember. You got to remember where you came from. You got to remember all the tsar and the difficulties in order to really be able to celebrate a certain sense, a certain similarity. So last week I was going to tell you a story. It's a pretty famous story. I don't know if you guys heard of it. But a story about a certain story about how Rav Moshe Feinstein was machshiv, even non-observant or not so observant. Holocaust survivors, that if somebody has a number on their arm, this is a kadosh, this is a person that went through Gehenna for being a Jew, and the kedusha that such a person has is like Me'al Me'ever. I was going to connect it to last week's parashah about B'krovai HaKadosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he sanctifies himself dafka when the holiest and most special people, you know, are taken away. A lot of times it seems that when you hear these stories about these about the kedoshim, people who are killed, it's very hard to fathom why HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away those people who are the most special and the holiest and the finest, the most sincere. That causes people to have a chisaron and emunah a lot of times, because Mamelef, you know, a guy in a terrorist attack gets killed, he's like a bum and an idiot and a nasty guy. So then people say, okay, you know, even though it's terrible, but people say, okay, I understand it. But when the holiest and most special and sweet people, but that's the way it's always been. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "B'krovai HaKadosh," but those people who are close to me, that's how I'm sanctified. As a matter of fact, Chazal say that the idea is like, what kind of sadomasochistic idea is that? That's crazy. What does that mean? So Chazal say that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does din with the tzaddikim, so a person should say, how much more so me? How much more so? I'm not a tzaddik like that. I better watch out. I better get better. I better take some mussar from that. But this week I want to say over, I know Rabbi Leibowitz likes a lot of times quoting from Rabbi Andy Yudin. Sometimes he always says, well, I have nothing else, I open up and listen to Rabbi Andy Yudin, he has to say. So I happened to be together over Shabbos with Rabbi Andy Yudin from Yeshiva Torah Shvaga, Rabbi Yudin's brother from here. So he shared an interesting insight, which maybe I'll embellish on a little bit. He's talking about, why does Yom HaTzmaut always fall out during Sfiras HaOmer? So asked a different way, you could ask, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom set it up that the state would be proclaimed during Sfiras HaOmer. So why did it happen like that? So he went to suggest as follows, that, and this is a little bit my embellishment, but the idea is his, but the embellishment is mine. If you don't like it, you can blame it on me. But he basically said that the Sefer HaChinuch writes, and everybody understands that Sfiras HaOmer is a bridge between Pesach and Shavuos, right? I think the Ramban calls it Chol HaMoed. It's like one big Chol HaMoed. It's like the first days are Pesach, the last day is Shavuos, and Sfiras HaOmer is like a Chol HaMoed in between the two. Sefer HaChinuch says it's a bridge because the whole idea is that there's no such thing as freedom without the Torah. We don't just believe in freedom, the secular idea of freedom, that, oh, we're free, so that's a great thing to celebrate. We begin celebrating, but we're looking already from the beginning of Pesach, we're looking already ahead towards Shavuos. The whole idea of Sfiras HaOmer is that we're connecting. We realize that, yeah, the freedom was a great thing. Anochi Hashem Elokecha she'otzisicha me'eretz Yisrael, it's the whole makor for Hakaras HaTov, the first Aseres HaDibros. But for us, freedom is not really Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Ela Mi She'osek BaTorah. For us, freedom means free to practice our religion, free to be under the bondage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Chinuch writes, that's what the pasuk means. V'zelcha ha'os ki anochi shlachticha bo'tziacha es ami Mitzrayim tavdenes elokim al ha'har hazeh. The Chinuch writes that there's a lot of different pshatim what this pasuk means. What's the os? V'zelcha ha'os ki anochi shlachticha. So the Chinuch has an interesting original reading of this pasuk that Yitzias Mitzrayim is the os that for Matan Torah. It's not usually the way people read the pasuk. They read it the other way around, that I'll give you a sign that really now is good. The sign is that in the future I'm going to give you the Torah. That's the simple pshat of the pasuk, I would say. He says, no, it's the opposite, that Yitzias Mitzrayim is a sign, it's just a minor league event that's going to lead to the major league event. The major league event is Kabbalah Satorah. The whole point of Yitzias Mitzrayim is just Kabbalah Satorah. So then the Chinuch asks, well, if that's true, so why do we begin counting Tefillas HaOmer from day two of Pesach? We really should begin counting from day one. So this Rabbi Yudin didn't focus on as much, but so if you look in the Chinuch, he says, no, day one deserves a celebration as well. Day one needs its day for celebration. Day one, we're celebrating the freedom. The freedom has no significance without the Torah. But apparently, that's not the way thanking Hashem for things works. If you have stage one, you thank Hashem for stage one. Then on day two, we start saying, we realize that stage one is not really worth all that much. It's worth something. We certainly celebrate the first day of Pesach Halal. We say, thank you, Hashem, for delivering us out, and thank you for the Makos. I think, you know, and the whole Dayenu, what's the whole Dayenu? If Hashem had taken us out of Mitzrayim, that's enough. What's the whole idea of day one? And if he brought us to Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, it's enough. It's really enough. No. What it means is, each step along the process is enough to warrant thanksgiving. Each step along the process is enough to warrant a thank you. We realize that there's a process yet to come. Sefiras HaOmer is a bridge. It says, folks, let me do it. But that's why, the Chinuch says, that's why we start on day two. We start on day two, not day one of Pesach, because day one of Pesach has to be dedicated to thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which happened on Pesach. Then the next day we say, listen, we thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for day one, but we realize that day one really is not the full picture at all. We thank you for day one, but we realize there's a lot more yet to go. So he wanted to suggest that's the idea of Yom HaTzmaot also, because especially Rabbi Yudin, he's a little bit in the Haredi world, but he also comes from a family of tremendous Ohave Eretz Yisrael. So he himself is that way. So he said that, you know, he's obviously, I was telling the guys today, you know, if you live in certain segments of the Haredi population in Israel, it's a very confusing day, Yom HaTzmaot. It's a very, very confusing day. There's a lot of families where at home, the kids are at home the night before and early in the morning, and they're all celebrating it, and then they go to yeshiva. Yeshiva, and the yeshiva is like, it's a regular day. No one's celebrating anything. It's a strange day. So if you send your kids to a Haredi school, but you yourself have certain Sioni leanings, it's a very, very hard day. So he was explaining that, you know, he often finds himself in debates with people. Before, during, and after Yom HaTzmaot, you know, so he was saying that maybe that's the Yisod, because Rav Soloveitchik writes in Nefesh HaRav, he quoted Rav Soloveitchik talks about, you know, Rav Shechter writes there, why Rav Soloveitchik felt it was important to join the Mizrahi, to join the Mizrahi movement. He said the Mizrahi stands for two things. Number one, to engage the world. Okay, we understand that, to engage the world, that Jews shouldn't remain cloistered anymore. You could be involved in the world, you could have a job, you could have parnassah, you could learn secular studies and bring Torah, a Torah outlook and a Torah perspective to the world. That's one thing. And the other thing was that the establishment of the State of Israel is a tremendous bracha, because it gives Klal Yisrael the opportunity to observe Yiddishkeit in its fullest, in a Jewish state, to observe Yiddishkeit. It gives the opportunity. So we view it, even though it was a secular government that established state, and even though David Ben-Gurion was a secular Jew. That's why I wanted to play that speech this morning. I played the speech. It's interesting. If you look at, maybe it was just the images that the person who put the images to evoked, but everyone talks about Ben-Gurion. He was a Russia. He was an anti-Semite. He was anti-Frum. But if you listen to what he said, at least in the declaration is, he says, the job of the Jewish people, he talks about, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, you know, Tzur HaOlamim, we believe in the creator of the world. So he says he believes in God. And he said that the job of the Jewish people is to teach Torah to the world. You could read it like that. to teach the Sefer HaSfarim. Maybe he meant Sefer HaSfarim. So maybe he didn't mean the religious context, but Lamaisa, that's why I played it this morning, because the whole goal of the establishment of the state was, he starts off saying that this is where our people were developed. What does that mean? This is where Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov grew up. This is where our people came from. And this is the land that we were always been promised. This has always been the Jewish homeland. Where are we promised? In the Torah. So, and then he says, the job of the Jewish people is to teach Torah to the world. That's the job of the Jewish people, to teach Torah, to observe our lives based on the Torah. He didn't observe his life based on the Torah. It's a kasha. But the state was established to be a place so that those who celebrate Yom HaTzmut today celebrate it, because we hold that. So that's what Rabbi Yudin was suggesting. Because Rav Salvechik, then the next line says, he joined the Mizrach Kuzit, but he says, but to the extent that the state represents anti-Torah values, so we're not excited about that at all. We're not excited. Yeah, there's a lot of elements about the state that are terrible. There's a lot of anti-religious sentiment in the government, and there's a lot of laws that are passed that are not good for the Jews. There's a lot of problems. But even though we know we still have a ways to go, the idea of celebrating Yom HaTzmus to say, yeah, we realize this is step one. It's step one. The establishment of the state, there's something to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, even though it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. There's a lot messed up, but that's the point. That's Dayenu. So you want to suggest that's why it's during the Sfiras HaOmer. Because the whole thing that Sfiras HaOmer teaches us is celebrate Pesach, but realize that Pesach is only step one, and Pesach is a dream completely unfulfilled. We thank Hashem for Pesach, but it's a dream completely unfulfilled. You need Shavuos. You need Shavuos to fill it up. Pesach without Shavuos is nothing. But we thank Hashem for Pesach. So similarly, I wanted to say, the Medina without Torah is worthless. It's worthless. It's nothing. Our Salvation, he has a lashon there in Nefesh HaRav. But if you'll tell me that, you know, the Medina is not going to help people become more religious, it's not going to help people observe Torah more, then I'm not in favor. And anything about the Medina, you can't just say, I observe the Medina, everything with the Medina, I'm supportive of everything in the state because it's Medina Yisrael, so I have to be supportive of everything. No. Things about the state that are anti-religious, chas v'shalom, we're not going to support those things. But that doesn't mean that the whole creation of the state is a bad thing. That's the whole idea of Dayenu. Even every step along the process, it's a step. The first time in 2,000 years that the Jews should have shlita over their own land, that we have a say in what goes on. So that should be celebrated. That's the idea. So you want to say that's why it's during Sfira, because it has a similar connotation to Sfira, that the state is step one in a fulfilled vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech over the Jews. The state is the first step, just like Pesach is the first step. And now we're looking towards Shavuos, where we're going to have the fuller perspective. And then he added two things. He quoted from Rabbi Shammai Warman. Rabbi Shammai Warman is a Rebbe in BMT back in the day. Now he's a Rebbe in a place called Mitzpeh Yericho. Big Talmud Chacham, he finishes Shas pretty much every year. I think he's finished Shas like 50 times, like a lot of times. So he says that if I have a suffix about, he was talking about Yom HaTzmut, he said, if I have a suffix about Yom HaTzmut, I'd rather err on the side of Hakaras HaTov. I'd rather err on the side of Hakaras HaTov. Like, I'm not sure whether I should be thanking Hashem for this or not. I'd rather, when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, I'd rather err on the side of Hakaras HaTov. And he quoted from Rabbi Machlis. Sorry, Machlis said, if you look at Jewish history, a lot of times we celebrate a lot of things even though they're not perfect. Chanukah, after the miracle of Chanukah, for 200 years there were corrupt Kohanim Gedolim in the Beis HaMikdash after the miracle of Chanukah. So does that mean the miracle of Chanukah was a bad thing? We just shut it down? We don't celebrate Chanukah because something bad happened? No. Generally speaking, there was a lot of good in it. There's a lot of good. But there was also some bad parts. It doesn't mean you don't celebrate. He said Purim. So at the end of Purim's story, Esther was still living with Ahasuerus. She was still living with a guy. She didn't run away. She was still living with a guy. It's not such a good thing. It's not so nice that she stayed living with a guy. Maybe she had to do it originally, but afterwards, you know, maybe she couldn't get out of it. I don't know, but that's what he wanted to suggest. There's a lot of good things that happen, but we still celebrate them, even though a little piece of them is bad. It's not completely good, or a big piece of them is bad. Maybe that's the machlokas, how much is bad. But that's what he pointed out. I just want to close with one story. You know, just a year ago, you know, Rav Lichtenstein was nifter, and Rabbi Targan talked about right after he passed away, because Rav Aaron was nifter, I think, on Rosh Chodesh Iyar is like 5 days before Yom HaTzmut. So Rabbi Targan, a year ago, like he was doing these like 20-minute summaries of things that Rav Aaron said about. He talked about on Yom HaTzmut. He talked about Rav Aaron's shiur that Rav Aaron gave on Yom HaTzmut. So he tells a story how one time that when Rav Aaron visited Eretz Yisrael once as a younger man, and then he came back and he met with Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner said to him, "New, what'd you think about Israel?" So he started telling him this about Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huttner said, "But what's so great about it? What's so great about it?" He started telling him another thing. "What's so great about it? What's so great about it?" So finally Rav Huttner said something to the effect of, he says, "Really? That this is what you think? Like that you could do all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael?" He said, "Or that you could have a whole Jewish community, and it's a sense of community that you don't have in Eretz Yisrael?" He said, "Really? That's all it is? That's all it is?" And he said, "What about the fact that this is the land of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and this is the land of Jewish heritage, and this is the land of our people, and this is the land of Kedusha?" And it's, you know, and Rav Aaron had a lush, like he was so embarrassed that Rav Huttner about that essay. He said, I left Rav Huttner's presence, I felt like a beaten dog. That was the lush that Rav Aaron said. So a lot of times nowadays we're lacking this sensitivity. My grandfather once went to visit Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner had been on vacation in the Swiss Alps, and he came back to Eretz Yisrael, and my grandfather went to go visit with him. He was friendly with him. So he saw him in his apartment on his mirpeset, on his back porch in Eretz Yisrael. He was looking at the mountains. He was on the porch just looking at the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. So my grandfather said to him, "Rebbe, you just came back from the Swiss Alps. You saw the most beautiful mountains in the world. What are you looking at the mountains for?" So Rav Huttner turned to my grandfather and said, "These mountains talk to me." What he said, "The Swiss Alps are beautiful mountains, but these mountains talk to me. You know, these are Jewish mountains. These are mountains that have kedusha. With every blade of every piece of dirt has kedusha. There's mitzvahs. There's shemitah. There's kedusha. There's kedusha saharis. There's kedusha Eretz Yisrael. There's a different reality, right? Every mitzvah has more mashmaos in Eretz Yisrael because it's a land filled with kedusha. That might be what the Medrash means. The Medrash says that all the mitzvahs we do in Chutzar is just practice for Eretz Yisrael, because in terms of the Kedusha that you get out of the mitzvah, the Chiyuv, the mitzvah, a lot of mitzvahs, you chayiv and tefillin, just like you chayiv here, just like over there, you chayiv and tefillin. But in terms of the Kedusha that you can grow from the mitzvahs, if you're in a whole place that's suffused with Kedusha, that has an Avira de Eretz Yisrael, Machkem, Ein Torah Ketoros Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash says like that, Ein Torah Ketoros Eretz Yisrael, because the whole Avir is Machkem. So we have a lot of Akaras HaTov on this day. At least me and my Rabbeim, we have a lot of Akaras HaTov on this day for thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us what is a step, a very significant step. It's not the end of the game yet. There's a lot of problems with it. There's a lot left to still be misaking, but we still have tremendous Akaras HaTov for the step. There's more people learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael now than in history learning Torah. There's more people getting closer to the Yiddishkeit. There's more people growing. There's more, hopefully slowly, more unity developing among Am Yisrael. There's a lot of people working on the unity. We're hoping to work towards that time where we'll finally be zocha to the final geula. But to thank Hashem for this step, we'd rather err on the side of Akaras HaTov. So wish everybody a wonderful day. Are we still on for next week? We'll still be here? Next week we're still here? Okay. And, okay. Shabbat.